Thursday, 30th of May, Chof Aleph Sivan. Harav David Tugendhaft, Elio Anovi, and Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be back to see you again at the Torah Way. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Yerushalmi, which says that if a rabbi is asked about whether we should break Shabbos to save someone's life, then it's a tremendous indictment. It's a huge embarrassment if someone asks a rabbi, should you save somebody's life or not on Shabbos? Why is it an indictment? Because the rabbi should have already given droshes about it. Everybody should know, the rabbi should have already spoken about it, so that everybody should be crystal clear that you can break Shabbos to save somebody's life. But there are very many questions which come up. I've had some interesting questions recently. So I'd like to speak about this topic of v'chai bohem, how we're supposed to not compromise our life when it comes to keeping the Torah and keeping Shabbos. I'd like to start off a little bit about the lomdus of Pikuach Nefesh, and afterwards, as Hashem, work in some halacha as well. So let's start off on the left-hand side of your sheet, source one from Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin. And we speak about Elio Hanovi. The landlady where Elio Hanovi had been staying, the Isha Tzarfosis, her son became very ill. He's incredibly ill. Until his soul left his body. What on earth is going on? You've come here. You're on such an exalted level. You're showing us up. And my son is passing away. He said to her, give me your son. He took her son from her. And he took her up to the very same room where she had been so kind to him and she'd allowed him to stay. And he put this boy on the own bed that he had been staying in as a result of her hospitality. By Yikro El Hashem, he called out to Hashem. By Yomar, Hashem Elokei Hagamol Almona Sharani Misgeirer Imo Harayis Elhomis Espano. Hashem, this lady who's done such wonderful things, such incredible Hachnosis Orachim, you're going to do evil to her, to kill her son. By Yismoided Al Hayeled, he stretched himself out on the child Sholish Paomim 3 times. By Yikro El Hashem, by Yomar, Hashem Elokei Toshov Na Nefesh Hayeled. Please, Hashem, resurrect this child. Vayishma Hashem b'keil Elio. Hashem answered Elio's prayers. Vatoshov nefesh hayeled al kirboy vayechi, and his soul came back into his body as he was resurrected. Vayikach Elio es hayeled vayerudo min ha'aliyah haboisa. He brought the child down. Vayenor le'imo vayomer Elio ri'i chay b'neich. See, your son is alive. Tremendous, incredible story of Elio Hanovi's kayach to revive the dead. That's the story of Melachim Aleph. Now, there's a Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and this Gemara tells us that Elio Hanovi was actually a kohen. And we're going to use this principle shortly to ask a question on the episode which we just saw. So firstly, let's have a look at this Gemara Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Aleph that shows us that Elio Hanovi was a kohen. Ashkeche Rabba Bar Avuha Elio, the kohen of Isaac Forest Shal Nochrim. Rabba Bar Avuha, he saw Elio Hanovi was standing in a non-Jewish graveyard. Omar Lei, Lav Kohen Humar, are you not a kohen? As Rashi says, because Elio is Pinchos. Because it says Kane Kinesi, and with Pinchos it says Vakane is Kinosi. We know Elio is Pinchos, Pinchos Ben Elozo Ben Aaron are kohen. So Elio is a kohen. So aren't you a kohen? My time or kohen marba beis akvaras. So what are you doing? What is this great rabbi Elio Hanovi Pinchas doing in a graveyard? Omar lei Elio answered Rabbi Baravua, loy masni mar taharas. Come on, you haven't learned taharas. The son of Shimon bar Yochai omek yevein shal nochrin ein matamin. Where Shimon bar Yochai says, if it's a Gentile beis akvaras, then it doesn't bring tumah. Shnei bava aten tzoyni tzoy marisi atem odom atem krim odom vein nochrin krim odom. He says, you haven't learned taras. Come on, everybody knows that since this is a beis akvaras of nochrim, that's not matamei. Reminds me of the story of one of these famous refuseniks. who came off the plane in Ben Gurion Airport. And every single day for years, he'd been learning Mishnayos secretly. He'd been smuggling pages of Gemara into work with him and secretly learning them when he had some spare time. And he came off the plane, finally he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and he goes up to a cleaner there in Eretz Yisrael. He goes, "Help me, this Mishnah in Kalim I've been struggling with for years. What's pshat?" And he goes, "Ma? Huh? What do you mean, Mishnah, Kalim? What do you mean?" He goes, "You haven't learned Kalim? You haven't learned it? You know, here am I, I've been struggling, schwitzing away trying to learn this. And I had a Schwerkeit, and I come here to Eretz Yisrael, where you're allowed to learn, at least currently, you're allowed to learn Hashem Yerachem, and you don't know Mishnah and Kalim?" So this is what Rabbi Ba'avua, he asked Eliyahu. Eliyahu says, "Come, you don't know the halacha? It's a base hakvaras of Gentiles." Okay, so Eliyahu had a good reason why he was there. So Tosfos in Bob Matzia Daf Kuf Yud Aleph uses this Gemara that proves that Eliyahu Hanavi is a Kayin, and uses that to ask a question on our original source. Says Tosfos in source 3, Teimalari, "Heyach hechye benoshen shalu almono, kimen shekayin haya." How could he go to this corpse, the son of the Isha Tzarfasis, take him up, schlep him upstairs, sit on top of, lie on top of him, and revive him? Surely Eliyahu Hanavi was a Kayin. How could he do that? How could Tumas Oil, Tumas Maga, how did he come in contact? So Enfer Tosfos, V'yeshloimar shahoya borur aloy. What does borur mean? He was sure, crystal clear, and certain sheyechayehu, that he would be able to resurrect him. He knew he would be able to bring him back to life. Lokach hayomuta mishum pekuach nefesh, and therefore he was allowed to resurrect this boy, because pekuach nefesh hatolas nefoshes, whatever, you have to do anything to save a yid. Now, this is what Tosfos says. Now, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to ask a question on this Tosfos. We see from here the only reason that Eliyahu Hanavi was allowed to be metame himself to this boy is because he was sure, boror, crystal clear, that he would be able to resurrect him. Now, when we hear this Tosfos, there's a word in this Tosfos that stands out and is very problematic. What word is that? Boror. Do you really have to be 100% certain that you can save someone's life to break in order for you to break Shabbos, in order for a Kohen to be Matam Elameis? Do you have to be, in fact, Boror? Or do you not have to be Boror? Well, let's have a look at source number 4, which is the Gemara in Masech de Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says over there, Misha Achsoi Bulmus, a person who has Lo Aleinu, a terrible certain disease, Ma'achilin Oisei Afilu Dvarim Tameim, give him some lobster, give him some pork chops. If this is what he needs to become gesund again, Dvarim Tameim, give him any of these trefa foods. Until his eyes light up again. In a case where a person has some certain throat disorder, where there's even a doubt, a sophic nefoshes, a possibility that the person would lose their life, then you give him some certain medication. Keyword over here, sophic nefoshos. Any doubt where you might be able to save someone's life, doich es haShabbos, pushes away the Shabbos. Misha noflo alov mapoilas, sophic hu shom, sophic ein shom. A person saw recently where there were houses that caved in, buildings that caved in, and there were people who were found there 17 days later. Unbelievable. If a person, Rachmon Litzlon, would be in such a situation where there'd be a house that fell down, and you didn't even know if there was somebody there or not. Sofek Chai, Sofek Meis, even if there was someone there, maybe they've already died. Sofek Nochri, Sofek Yisrael, a Sofek whether there are Nochri, where, in which case nowadays we would only save them if they darkei Shalom, or whether there's a reason they may Ikar Adin to save them because they're a Yisrael. Mefachir Alove Sagal, you have to do whatever you can to clear away that rubble, to make sure that you get to this potentially alive person who may or may not be there and may or may not be a Yisrael. So you do whatever it takes, even if in a case of Sofek, You have to be Doiche Shabbos. I saw there's the Aruch Chaim HaKodesh. The Aruch Chaim HaKodesh says that in Shmois Perek Yud Beis, he says that if a person breaks Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, that's not called breaking Shabbos. It's not even called Chilul Shabbos, actually. It's actually called Shmiras Shabbos. It's called keeping Shabbos. And I saw the Mishnah Berurah brings that if a person has to break Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, so he said there were some people, they broke Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh, so they fasted. He says, ach, he said, what are you talking about fast? It's a minag sichlus. It's a stupid thing. Absolutely not. You've actually kept Shabbos. We have here some the choshev members of Hatzalah, who we all owe so much hakaras hatzayv to. Mamish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send mamish every brocha to all of these people on Mechal Shabbos. And so it's a... Who are not Mechal Shabbos, Shkoyach? Who are not Mechal, who are being Shemar Shabbos, who are being Shemar Shabbos in this way? They're being Shemar Shabbos. So you see over here from the Gemara in Yuma, Pei Gimel, that even if there's a potential to save somebody's life, you still have to break Shabbos. So the kasha is on Tosfos. Why did Tosfos say that the only reason that Eliyahu Hanavi saved this boy is because he was borer, because he was 100% certain that he would be able to save him? So in order to answer this question, we've got a lot to cover. So we're going to have a look at source number 5. Source number 5 from Yuma Daf Pei Yomad Beis shows us two sources that are given as reasons why we break Shabbos, so to speak, in order to save somebody's life. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, V'shom Ruvnei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, Klal Yisrael Gad HaShabbos, Chalil Olav Shabbos Achas, K'dei SheYishmar Shabbos Es Harbe. Break one to keep many. If you break Shabbos, break this Shabbos, in order to save someone's life, and then they'll be able to keep many, many Shabboses their whole life, or maybe they'll have children, and maybe there'll be millions and millions of Shabboses kept by breaking this one Shabbos. Break one to keep many. That's Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, the Pasuk says, Asher Yaseh Odom V'chai Bohem. We're supposed to keep the mitzvahs and live, says the Gemara, V'lo Sheyomus Bohem. Don't keep a mitzvah if this will compromise life. Of course, we know the Gimel Averis Chamuras, that's a different shear, but generally speaking, a person has to do the mitzvahs in such a way that it brings life, not in such a way that by keeping it, they would end up dying. And the Gemara brings Rava, Omar Rava, Lakulu Islahu Pircha, Bar Midashmuel, the Leslei Pircha. Rashi explains this line as follows. He says, what happens if it's a case where there's only a sofek? We're not sure whether that person will be able to be saved or not. So do you break Shabbos? So Rashi explains that what Rava is saying is as follows. From the source of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, which says, break one Shabbos to keep many, that only applies if you're certain that he will in fact keep many. I'm allowed to break Shabbos now, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, definitely break Shabbos, if I know that that will lead to the person keeping many Shabbosos. According to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, I'd only be allowed to break Shabbos if I was crystal clear that I actually would be able to save the life and there'd be a net gain of future Shmira Shabbos. However, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who uses this pasuk v'chai bohem, never keep Shabbos in such a way that somebody may lose their life. According to that, even if it's a sofek, even if there's a doubt, I should be able, and I will be able, to break Shabbos. So what we take away from this Gemara is that there are two sources for pikuach nefesh, pushing aside the Shabbos. According to the first source, break one to keep many, that would not apply in a case where there was a sofek. However, the second source, which is Shmuel's source, v'chai bohem, that will even apply in a case where there is a sofek, where it's only a possibility that you'll be able to save somebody's life. Let's now use these two different shittas, and we'll come back to our question. Our question was, why is it that Tosfos says that Eliyahu Hanavi had to be sure that he'd be able to save this boy's life? So what we'll do is we'll look at it, taking into account both of these psukim. The first one, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who says, break one in order to keep many, we said that does not apply in a case of a doubt, right? Remember we said that? That doesn't apply in a case of a doubt. Whereas v'chai bohem means don't do something that would take away somebody's life. Now, does v'chai bohem apply in the case of the son of the Isha Tzorfosis? What's the difference between the son of the Isha Tzorfosis and a normal case of Pikuach Nefesh? Here, he was already dead. It's not like you've got somebody who's alive and you're trying to preserve their life. Rather, you need to resurrect somebody. When it comes to preserving somebody's life, that's where the posuk of V'chai Bohem fits in. Asher Yaseh Ha'odom, you have a person, a lebedika mensch, a person who's alive. Don't do something that could compromise his life. Now that doesn't apply over here, because he was already dead. In which case, what source does apply over here? Break one Shabbos to keep many. And we said that that does not apply in a case of a sofek. So therefore, Hayetzi Midvareinu is that, since there are two sources to save somebody's life, only one of these sources applies in the case of doubt, in the case of sofek. Yeah? And the one that applies in a case of sofek is only speaking about someone who is currently alive. Therefore, the source for Eliyahu Hanavi to be Matami himself was coming from the posuk, break one Shabbos to keep many. And that only applies in a case of Vadai. So therefore, we've answered up our question on Tosfos. Eliyahu Hanavi had to be sure in this case, because he was breaking one Shabbos to keep many, so he had to know that he would be able, in fact, this boy would be able to keep many. Let's see in number 6 a few other scenarios.
According to this, I don't know if you bring people alive. Who said it's rich? Why don't you bring people alive?
Very interesting, right? We know that the Tanoim could be Bechaya Mason. Why didn't they do that the whole time? Yeah, it's a very good question. And we see that he was only able to do it with intense tefillah. And because of this, you know, the Hakoras HaToiv that he owed to the Isha Tzorfosis. Seems as though that normally they wouldn't, you know, normally there's a Mahalach HaChayim. Yeah, there's a Mahalach HaChayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonus. And here was an exceptional situation. Yeah, that's the only answer. Because otherwise you could say that, you know, there'd be lots of Shmirah Shabbos. Okay. What about a fetus? A fetus b'mei imoy. So, if one has a fetus b'mei imoy, so I saw there's a Hamak Shela than a Tziv. And he gives the following cheshbon. He says, should you break Shabbos to keep a fetus? Now, a fetus isn't actually called an odom yet. In fact, a person is not a chayv misa, bidei beistin, bidei odom, if they would kill a fetus. So they're not called an odom. So, since the pasuk of v'chai bohem is talking about an odom, so should a person be mechal Shabbos to save a fetus? But the answer is yes, but it's coming in Nida, Daf Mem Dalet, the Ritva there, and the Ramban, you should be mechal Shabbos to save a fetus, but from which source? Right? Break one Shabbos to keep many Shabboses. That's the source. And that actually doesn't apply in a case of a sofek. So the Netziv, I don't know if we pass it like this to Halacha, but the Netziv says in Hamak Shaila that you would break Shabbos if you were definitely sure you could save a fetus, but not if it was only doubtful that you'd be able to save them. What about a fool, someone who's a tipesh? Should one save them? Of course, the Halacha one should save them. But which one of these psukim applies, which one of these sources applies to saving somebody who's a tipesh? Right, very good. The source that applies is V'chai Bohem, keep him alive. Does the other source apply? Break one Shabbos to keep many? It doesn't really apply because he's not really able to keep many Shabboses. Yeah? So, in a case where he's someone who would not keep Shabbos. Okay. Another one. Chaye Sho'or is a very interesting case. Can you break Shabbos in order to keep someone alive for another few minutes?
Yes.
So, the halacha is you do. Which is the source? Which one of these is the source? It has to be v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem means keep him alive. Keep him alive, whatever it takes. Can it be the other source? Break one Shabbos to keep many? So, pashtus, that would not apply, would it? Because, for pashtus it wouldn't apply, because he's not going to be keeping many Shabbos. He's going to be able to keep him alive for another 10 seconds, for another 2 minutes. So seemingly it wouldn't apply. However, there is a ritva. The ritva says that applies even in this case, because if you keep him alive for an extra 2 minutes, maybe he'll do tshuva on previous Shabbosos that he broke, and therefore he's actually going to be keeping many, many, break this Shabbos in order that he should keep many, many Shabbosos, lemafreya, right? And therefore, even that source can apply over here. Okay, let's move on to the next sheet. Let's move on to the to page 2, and we'll see a bit of a checklist over here when it comes to breaking Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. So, Shmir Shabbos Kilchos, Perek Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, Mishtabura, Simon Shinkav Ches, Shinkav Tes, many simonim, many nekudas over here concerning this, many se'ifim. I'm just going to give a really basic overview of these halachas. So there are two types of chayle sheyesh bo sakana. There are two types of people who are in life-threatening danger. One of them, their life is in imminent danger. And the other one, there is pekuach nefesh, but it's not imminent. It doesn't really matter whether you call the doctor now, you get the medication for them now, or you get the medication for them in an hour. Doesn't really matter. There is pekuach nefesh if they don't get the medication, but you have some leeway. It's not imminent danger. These are the two types of pekuach nefesh. So in number one, where it's a chayle sheish be sakono, where there is imminent danger, then it's open season, do whatever it takes to save this person's life. Who is the person who should do it? The Mishnah Berurah says, the godol shababayis. You should have the godol shababayis. Your mother-in-law, whoever it is, the godol shababayis, you should have to be machalal Shabbos over here, because you want to show that we mean business. Life is the most important thing. The one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves even more than Shabbos Kodesh is Yidden, is life. And therefore, you want to make that crystal clear, and push comes to shove, you do whatever it takes. You're the one who makes the phone call, and you make the phone call in the most straightforward way possible. That's if there's imminent danger. Okay? Now, if there isn't imminent danger, but it certainly is a chole sheyesh bo sakana, it needs to be done, but there is some leeway. It could be a woman for whom it takes hours. She always goes, when she's in labor, you know for sure that it ain't happening soon. Such a case like this, there's certainly pekuach nefesh over here, but it's a scenario where it's not imminent. So then there's a pecking order, which is 2A, B, and C. Since there's no imminent danger, if possible, get a non-Jew to make the phone call, get a non-Jew to be Mechalal Shabbos for this situation. If possible, if there's a non-Jew that's handy, happens to be in the house, a next-door neighbor, someone who you can ask. And you can actually speak to them directly over here through Mechalal Shabbos. That's A. If you don't have a non-Jew around, you know, Golders Green is full of non-Jews, but often whenever you want one, you know, there's nobody around. I once remember I went to the street and I found someone I thought he wasn't obviously a Yid, and I was trying to explain to them a particular scenario. He goes, look, I'd love to help you, but I can't, and I'm Jewish, and goodbye. And you know, he went off. And then I found real non-Jew lemahadrin, l'chol adeus, l'chol hashittus, and baruch Hashem, they were able to help instantaneously. So, you see, a Yid, even though he was already doing Mechal Shabbos, didn't want to do it. He didn't want to. Anyway, okay. So 2B, if there's no yid, well, it's pekuach nefesh. So do it, but if possible, use a shinoy. Do it in an unusual way. And we'll speak about shinoy hopefully shortly. Do it in an unusual way. If you can't do it in an unusual way, then do it normally. So very, very basic level, either a non-Jew or dial with your knuckles or the back of a spoon. And failing this, you can do it normally. So this is the two cases of pekuach nefesh, and this pecking order A, B, and C is actually true even when it comes to alleviating suffering. If there's something which would alleviate suffering for them, also it's a pekuach nefesh case. They need a certain medication, a certain ointment, or to have it applied. But it's not pekuach nefesh to actually do this thing. You're just alleviating their suffering. But they are in a situation of pekuach nefesh. If possible, get a non-Jew. Otherwise, a shinoi. Failing this, you can actually do it yourself. Next, number 4, in a case where it is a chayle she'ein bo sakana. Now, a chayle she'ein bo sakana, which is number 4, it's not life-threatening, right? But he is a chayle. She is a bona fide chayle. Now, what does it mean that they're a chayle? It means that they're aching all over. Their whole body hurts them. Or they feel bad enough that they like to lie down. That's actually already called a chayle she'ein bo sakana. And it could just be someone who has a severe flu. or a headache, the whole body aches them. Or they just feel, I just have to sleep because I'm in pain. So in those, again, we've got A, B, and C. A, you can ask a non-Jew to do any malacha, even min ha-Torah, for somebody who's got a serious flu. You can directly ask them. B, a yid can do something for them, which is awesome mid-Rabbonon. And ideally, with a shinoi. So let's give an example of something which is awesome mid-Rabbonon. Mekach u'memka on Shabbos, business on Shabbos, is awesome mid-Rabbonon. You can't buy and sell. That's awesome mid-Rabbonon. Why? Lest the person come to writing. It's actually can't, in case a person will come to writing, that's why Mekach u'memka, that's why business is also on Shabbos. So business is awesome mid-Rabbonon. So if you have someone who's a chayle she'en bei sakono, then a yid can do anything for them, which is awesome mid-Rabbonon. So technically, you could go to a place, assuming there are no haitzah min ha-Torah issues, playing it very, very safe over here, Rabbi Sai. So assuming there are no haitzah min ha-Torah issues, a person would be able to go to a shop, and they'd be able to actually buy something for them on Shabbos, because they've got a severe flu, they're a chayle she'en bei sakono. A yid would be allowed to do something for them, which is also mid-Rabbonon. If possible, do it with a shinoi. If possible, do it in an unusual manner. Not quite sure how you buy something in an unusual manner. Very good. Some people, you actually pay for it now. And to try and use as many shinoyim as possible over there. Fine. 4C, but a yid would not be allowed to do something which is forbidden min ha-Torah under any circumstances. A yid would not be allowed to. However, in a case of great needs, one can even do something which is awesome in ha-Torah if you use a shinoi. This is the Bal HaTanya and others, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you could be soimach on the b'shas ha-dachak, which would mean if someone is a chayle she'en bei sakono, a really nasty flu, and they really feel lousy, there's no sakono at all, but they really feel groggy, and they've asked you to help them. So the Bal HaTanya says you can even do an issum in ha-Torah, turn on lights, activate things, but if you do it with a shinoi, the Bal HaTanya says you can do that, the Mishnah Berurah says only in cases of real necessity should we be relying on that. Number 5, children always have the status of a chayle she'en bei sakono. So the things that we mentioned in number 4 apply. You can get a non-Jew to do any malocha for a child, even min ha-Torah. A yid could do something which is awesome mid-Rabbonon, ideally with a shinoi, etc. Number 6, localized pain or mild illness. That's called a meichush ba'alma. He's just feeling a little bit lousy. He's not really feeling terrible. A chayle she'en bei sakono. So it's awesome mid-Rabbonon even to use medicine, but you can ask a non-Jew to do something which is awesome mid-Rabbonon. So you can ask a non-Jew to go up the road to the pharmacy and to buy something, even for a meichush ba'alma, even for something where you just feel a little bit under the weather, but you're not a chayle she'en bei sakono. Massive heterim over here. Don't trust me. I mean, you can trust me. I hope you can trust me. But if you want to look it up inside, look it up inside. All these halachos have been come from these sources. We'll just close with a practical thing, making a phone call. What's the issue with making a phone call on Shabbos? Lifting up the receiver is already, according to the Chazon Ish Boina, according to the Beis Yitzchok, it's Moilid, so it's either Doraisa or Darabonon. Causing the ringer, right, to ring at the other end, it could be a Hashmas Koil, also Midrabonon, speaking on it, there's a discussion, putting it back on is also activating a circuit, also either Boina or Moilid. So in a case where time is of the essence, you pick up that phone and you dial. Doraisa is Darabonon, you just make sure that you save the person. Emergency where time is not of the essence, if possible, get a non-Jew. Otherwise, do it in an unusual way. What's the unusual way? Dial with your fingers, with your knuckles, excuse me, or with the back of a spoon or something. Lift up the receiver, if possible, with your elbow. Now, you don't have to speak in a Bulgarian accent or anything. That's not considered like a shinoi. Hello? You don't need to do that. That's okay. You should try, if you can't get a non-Jew, and try and do it with a shinoi if possible, and if not, then you can actually do it normally, and that is how you should make a phone call in a case where it's a chayle she'esh bei sakono. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us, the Ezra Hashem, that we should be able to be shemer Shabbos kados meichal aloy, not by actually having to break Shabbos because of pikuach nafsh. Kodesh Baruch Hu should send us, our families, all Klal Yisrael, to be gesund and stark, healthy and happy, and keeping Shabbos is harba v'ezra Hashem.